I've been watching what's going on within the church universal. And I was just in reading some stuff in my office about Ecclesiastic. What's the church? It's called the called out one. Why is it that we want to cozy up to the world and get as close as we can, thinking that we're going to win them, when God has said, you're the Ecclesiastic. You're the church. You're supposed to be the called out one. Think about this. This is how insane this is. When Jesus ministered on the earth, what were the people doing? They were going out to him. They were being called out to step up. Yet we think we need to step down to win people. It's never going to happen in this church. I refuse to allow that to happen. The word of God's going to come forth in this church in power. Amen? Now you just got 2 weeks of frustration. I'll be honest with you, what I'm seeing on social media, what's happening in churches today is just infuriating me. Because the word of God is the word of God. We are to be called out. We're to be separate. And we're to stand forth and do the works of Jesus, not compromise. I'm sick of compromise. Amen. What I'm going to share this morning is a quiet time. You can go ahead and put John up, Larry, if you want. Let me preface it this way. What you're about to hear is not ready to be preached, because it's something that the Lord has really been dealing with me in. And before you ever share anything, you've got to chew it up, you've got to eat it up, and then you've got to start putting it in a way that can be taught. As I was praying about where we were going this morning, I got this yesterday, and the Lord said, this is where I want to go. And I'm like, it's not ready yet. We're not ready yet for this. I'm not ready for it. Not that you're not ready for it, because I'm not ready for it. Amen? But the Lord said, no, this is where I want to go. And I'm going to take you through a quiet time that I had, or my time with the Lord, okay? I was just reading the Bible, and something popped off at me. This is in John. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me. I always had an easy time with that. And I am in you. When I got to I am in you, it popped off the page to me. I'm in you? Huh. And in my big intellect, I'm going to finish reading this whole thing, and then we're going to start it. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He who keeps my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. When I heard that scripture, I will come and make my abode with him, and I am in you, it started me thinking, Lord, I said, and what the Holy Spirit said to me was, I am in you. I'm like, okay. I said, Lord, I don't totally understand this. I don't really comprehend exactly what you're saying to me here. And he goes, I am in you. You hear me quote the scripture all the time. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. Now, I mean, there's a ton of scriptures that talk about who he is in you. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember that scripture? Is it Colossians? You can put that up if you want. Think about this. It's Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is. Now, this is Paul talking. This is what it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know we've talked about this, we've discussed it, and before you ever dismiss it, because the first thing we do when we hear this scripture is, I've heard this before. Jesus Christ. Everyone has this idea that Christ was his last name. That wasn't his last name, okay? His name was Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. Now, what does Christ mean? The anointed one and his anointing. This is who is in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul is saying. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, in you. I said, whoa, we're back to what he said in John. I will be in you. We will come and make our abode with you. What I really want you to understand is what Paul is saying here is the anointed one himself is where? In you. I mean, this is a deep, deep, deep understanding. And I think it will change everything that we do, every way we walk, everything that we do in life will be changed the minute we become aware of who is in us. Amen? Do you realize that this very moment that you are the body of Christ? And I've said this two or three times in here, or actually probably more than that. There are people in this world that will never be touched without you doing it. But I'd never realized what I was saying. You're just not Jesus' representative here on earth. You're his literal, physical body here on this earth. Just ponder that. See, I'm still wrestling with some of this. Man, how can this be? I mean, these are things that if we come into an understanding will completely change how we walk through life, how we look at the ministry of Jesus. I guess let's put it this way. If people today are going to see him, they're going to have to see him through us. That brings a whole new understanding to holiness, doesn't it? If people today are going to see Jesus, they're going to have to see it through the way we walk on this earth, because Jesus is in you. They're going to have to see him through your body. That's a staggering, staggering thought when you think about it. It's mind-blowing, but it's in the Bible. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'm walking you through how I dealt with this with the Lord. You know, the Lord can speak something to me and pop it up, but I want to see it. If you don't see it in Scripture, it means nothing, okay? And everything that we see has to be backed up. We can't just pull one thing out of Scripture and start believing. We need to see it in two or three different areas so that it gets confirmed. Amen? It says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are Christ's body and individual members of it. Now, we don't want to take the Bible literally, do we? I do. These aren't just a bunch of words put in a book to make us feel good. Every word means something. The Lord put this in the book. You are Christ's body. God is in you. Going back to what we just said, if people are going to see Jesus, they're going to have to see it through you. You're it. Not that this was some random thought. This is how Jesus designed it. Everything God created, he saw the beginning from the end. He knew man was going to fall. And everything he created in the garden, he knew was going to fall away, because he knows all things, right? So he already knew how he was going to win back everybody. He already pre-arranged everything. The best example I can give you to this would be Mary. You know, he had to look through eternity, find a woman that would come into agreement with him as far as the word. Remember, the angel showed up. The angel spoke the word of the Lord to her. And said, oh, let it be unto me as you want. And which basically allowed her to become with child. Now, that being said, he had to look through eternity. He had to look through how many years before he found somebody that would come in agreement with it. Now, take that same logic and put it into our dispensation right now. God had to look through time And what he's looking for is a people that will come into agreement with his word so that he can release his power. Amen? Otherwise, we're going to get a bunch of lukewarm churches. We're going to get a bunch of people trying to win the lost within their own power. We're not here to win the lost. Christ has already won the lost. He wants to use us to manifest his power here on earth. Amen? Wow. See, I'm getting more out just preaching this thing. I mean, things are just coming to my mind and through my spirit. What I'm trying to just share with you is things that I've been not struggling with, because I don't think that's a good word. Just as the Spirit of God is opening my mind and my vision to. Amen? Because I know, there's the Spirit of God speaking right there. I know that that's what he wants to build his house on. He doesn't want to build his house on a bunch of fancy music, a bunch of feel-good things. He wants to build his house on the Word of God and the power of God active in our life. Amen? When you lay hands on somebody, he's laying hands on somebody. You think about this. Remember in the scriptures it talks about, do not worry about when you're standing in front of somebody, I will give you what to speak. That's everyday life. That's Jesus working through you. That's him in you, giving you the words to speak to the lady at Walmart, to whoever you're talking to. Boy, that should lock our mouth up, shouldn't it? I mean, when we start to see he's in you, go with me over to 1 Corinthians 6:17. You know, I have this idea that Christ is in me and he's doing his own little thing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? He's just in you, kind of doing your own thing. Read this scripture to me. But the one who has joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one. Are you starting to see the relevance, the power, and starting to understand your one spirit? It's not a different spirit. This is the way I always saw it. Well, I got my own spirit. And this has got to be the miracle of the new birth here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you become born again, you know, I had this idea that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in within me, and I got my spirit and his spirit. The miracle of the new birth is you become one spirit with him. Boy, isn't that good? Doesn't that step you up a little bit? Now does it make sense when he calls you, the church, to come on out? You know why he wants you to come on out? Because everything in you is him now. I mean, when we start to chew on this for a little while, we start to meditate on one spirit. I mean, it's not separate. It's not, you know, him on one side. I look at it like a tennis match. You know, him on one side of your heart and you on the other side. And you're volleying stuff back and forth. You know what I'm saying? It's not that way at all. When he comes into you, this just came into my heart. He mingles the blood. And when blood is mingled, it becomes one. That's who you are in the spirit. That's who you are because you are a spirit being. Jesus never changes. Think about that. While you're meditating or chewing on this, what I don't want is just to share this and then you stop thinking about it. Because what I'm sharing with you right now is 6 to 7 weeks of just chewing on it. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't completely comprehend it in my head. That's why I can't sit up here and preach it. When you preach, it's in you already. You know, all you do is kind of, for lack of a better way, just puke it out. It's so much in you, you believe it. What I'm sharing with you is stuff that I'm still very reserved in because I'm still working it out. I see it in the scripture, but it's not truly in my heart yet. You understand what I'm saying? I see it, I believe it, but I'm still working through some of this. is in you wanting to do the same exact thing as he did 2,000 years ago. Because Christ never changes. He has come to set the captives free. He wants to lay hands and heal. He wants to break the chains of bondage. He wants to lead people to his Father. His mission has never changed, yet he has changed position in you. Amen? He wants to work through you. These are just little notes that I wrote. Why isn't this manifesting in the body today? Well, that's one of the questions I ask myself. Why aren't we seeing his power moving through the body today? Well, it's because it's like everything in the body of Christ. You can't get saved without what? Faith. If we don't start believing in this, we don't start seeing ourselves in this light, we're never going to start walking in the power of it. Amen? And that is so evident in the body of Christ today. We do not know who we are in Christ. We have not got this revelation yet. I'll be honest with you, the revelation in the body of Christ today is just, can I get through the day? But if we can get this into ourselves, we're going to walk through the day in power. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus was tempted in the same way as we were, do you think maybe the same thoughts that we have he had? Absolutely he did. So let's picture Jesus now. Some guy comes up and says, hey, my daughter's at home dying. Oh, let's go on over there and heal her. Now, I want you to picture what was going through Jesus' head as he walked to this guy's house. Let's say it's a 10 or 15 minute walk. This ain't going to work. What are you doing? There's no power in you. He had to have the same thoughts we do. Think about it. Doubt had to flood his head if he was tempted the same way we are. You know, because the Holy Spirit says, well, go lay hands on the sick. Oh, it's going to make a fool out of him. That's never going to work. No way. The same thought. Oh, you're just making this up in yourself. You ever heard those thoughts? If Jesus was human, he had to have those thoughts. But he had to dismiss them because why? He knew who was in him. He was just going to be obedient. Let's go back into seed time and harvest. As I was thinking about this and I was praying about it, the Lord said, seed time and harvest is what he established back in Genesis. Jesus was the first seed that had to go in to the ground. And then he trained his 12. Then the 150 at the upper room. Jesus was just the beginning of this way of thinking, of this way of living. Jesus was the firstborn son. He was the first one that had the Spirit of God in him. Remember? The Spirit descended upon him and lit. He was the first one to walk the way we were supposed to walk. Then he took it. He laid his life down for the 12. The 12 were multiplied. The 12 then were multiplied to 100. And then we're supposed to be multiplying this within the body. This is the first question that came to my mind when I was praying about this. So, okay, Lord, I see it. I understand it. And then the question, actually, I believe this was the Holy Spirit that asked me, are you afraid of me in you? That was the question the Holy Spirit asked me. Are you afraid of this? Because it's a daunting thing. Because it's going to make you different. People will think you're weird. Are you all right with that? Think about it. Remember, we're the ecclesiastic. We're the ones that are called out. Are you all right? Think about how they ridiculed Jesus. Think of the things that Jesus did that they laughed at him about. Even Lazarus, this little girl that he raised. I mean, they were laughing at him. He's out of his mind. Isn't that what the neighborhood told his family? He's off his rocker. Are you all right with that? Because when this starts to happen in your life, people are going to see a difference in you, and you're going to have to be all right with it. You're going to have to, well, I'll just put it this way. Are you willing to become less so you can become more? These are questions he's asked me. Really, what you're seeing are my notes as he just started speaking to me. Are you willing to become less so that you can become more? Are you willing to die to your way of doing things? Are you willing to cut your stinking thinking so you can start thinking in line with the Word of God so that the power of God can flow through you? He gave me this statement as I was driving to church this morning. And, you know, I didn't have anything to write it down, so I had to keep saying it over and over. And maybe that's why he gave it to me. He gave it to me right around 1100, so I was real close to the house. There's a big difference between knowing about God and having God flowing through your veins. This world, this community is full of the knowledge of God. Very few people are allowing God to flow through them. Goes back to our little blood issue. When blood is mingled, it becomes one. Are we willing to become one with Christ so the power of God can flow through you to minister to the people you come across every day? Amen? He doesn't flow through us to build huge churches. He doesn't flow through us to have healing lines. If that's what God leads to and he gives you that type of ministry, that's fine. But what he's looking for is a vessel that he can flow through to heal people, to set the captive free, so that people will come to know him in his power. Amen? And it's done individually. It's done at work. It's done when you're out playing with people. It's done while we're doing life with one another. That's what Jesus did. You don't look at Jesus having great crusade meetings. People left and came to him to receive. They were drawn to him. Why? Because it was the power of God in him. The same is true with you. People are drawn to you. You are a natural leader if you're born again. Think about that. You're a natural leader. And leaders have what? Influence. That's what he's trying to do in you. Because it's his power, isn't it? It's not us, it's him in us, the hope of glory. It's him in us that's working through us. All he's looking for is a vessel to speak through, to encourage through, and to work through. We're it. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your word never returns void. And Lord, I know that you're refining this within me and within this church, Father. Because I know this church isn't called or set apart or called out just to be the norm. You want to raise the dead, you want to set the captive free, and you want to see the glory of God move within this body, Father. And Lord, how he moves is through us. Not through me, but as a congregation is how you've chosen to move, Father. There wasn't one guy in the upper room doing things. They were all up there in one accord, and the power of God fell. Lord, unite us in one purpose, Unite us, Lord, to bring glory and to focus on you. In Jesus' name. Glory to God.